with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And he's been running from the CIA so long, he's officially lapped them. It's Mark Searby.
Hello.
It's impressive. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
You're going to lap him again? I feel like going for one lap is...
I'm not that athletic. You know. I'm really not that athletic at all, you know.
He's lapped him, now he's sitting in a Costa.
That'll do, yeah. To be fair, just let them come. It's fine, you know. I'm not going to fight it anymore.
Yeah, it's just too much, isn't it?
It's too much. It's far too much.
I'll let him catch me in the end. So whatever.
You
want the secret plans, you can have them.
Exactly. I don't have the athleticism of somebody like Ryan Gosling, who is running from the CIA. I have the looks, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Don't have the running.
I'm all right until they ask me to jump from a building. I was scared of heights.
Yeah.
You know, I can do all of it.
Not doing that.
You know,
not
martial
doing
arts
that.
And the stunt stuff.
I can run into a building and take the lift. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's about it.
In that scene in James Bond, I want to be the guy in the lift, not the guy hanging on the bottom.
Oh, you
of the
want
lift.
To be the guy who's in the lift when they open it and they're running in and whatever else, and you go, and there's always somebody in the lift. You all want to be that guy, basically.
Yeah, I'm already there. You know, he gets the sweet deal, doesn't he?
That's
he
doesn't
have to run anywhere. He's like, oh, hello, I'm the guy. I'm here. He's like, oh no.
Yeah, but you see, it could.
How did he get there?
It ends one of two ways. It either ends with, as it normally happens, which is the way of them just looking puzzled as they get out and run off again. You just go, oh, what happened there? Or it ends with the bad guy shooting you.
Yeah, and a big bust up in the lift.
Yeah, so up to you.
Although, I don't know, I mean, I've been in plenty of lifts in London. There is no room you could even have a bust up.
That's what I think as well. Yeah.
I know, you'd knock out the old lady and 15 kids and it'd be a chaos.
Yeah,
it?
Like, you know, you get in a lift and it goes eight people and you think, eight? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's at least 15 in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, look, we're getting off topic here. Now we're talking about
lifts,
aren't we? That's the thing. We need to be talking about movies. So
back in the films.
Yeah. So obviously the reason we were talking, you mentioned CIA and running from the CIA and whatever, is because this week's first movie called The Grey Man, spelt G-R-A-Y. Okay.
Oh, okay. American Grey Man.
Yes, yes. Is about the CIA's most skilled operative, whose true identity is known to no one. He accidentally uncovers dark agency secrets. A psychopathic former colleague puts a bounty on his head, setting off a global manhunt by international assassins.
It's a bit like the first time we met, isn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't recall.
I didn't know your true identity.
Well, there you go. You see, that's why I use this alias all the time. So here's a question for you. So you've seen the trailer for this, yes? You've probably seen the advertisements on Netflix. And
oh, it's been everywhere, isn't it?
It has. It really has. So you've seen it. How much do you think this cost to make?
Oh, gold. It's got to be up there with Tenet or something. It looks like a lot of stuff.
So let me give you an example, right? A movie that we're going to review next, The Northman, cost $60 million to make. Die Another Day on its own was around $150 million. Okay, that was before, you know, holding it back and having to re-promote it and whatever else, about 150. So in the scheme of things, The Grey Man, how much?
Yeah. Oh, Die Another Day is a long time ago, so I reckon $160 million.
Right, so let me tell you now. So this is Netflix's most expensive movie to date. It cost them $200 million to make.
Wow.
$200 million.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
$200 million.
How many subscription fees is there?
Exactly. I mean, that is a huge price tag by action film standards. I mean, they really...
You're bad. I haven't added it to a watch list now.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, they're going to charge you for it extra now, you know. I mean, for $200 million, you want some really good action set pieces. And this film does have action set pieces. It's just they're pretty standard action set pieces. I mean, it's it boggled my mind. I was watching it and I was like, we've seen this stuff before, like a million times. You know, none of it has got peril to it. There's hardly any risk in anything that happens. I mean, for example, right, about halfway through the movie, there is a big action set piece that involves Ryan Gosling's Sierra 6. He's the CIA guy who's on the run, basically. he's having a fight on a moving tram while Ana de Armas's CIA agent, Danny Miranda, great name, by the way, is trying to drive a Jeep next to it so he can jump over into the Jeep while she is also trying to navigate around the cars and around, you know, missing bullets from the bad guys and whatever else. So you go, oh, that sounds interesting. And
Sure I've seen that before.
For all of the busyness that's happening in that scene and in the movie as well, it still looks and feels very flat when it comes to the action. You know, think about Tom Cruise hanging off the side of an aeroplane.
Yep. Seen that a few times, haven't we?
Yes, but you go, that's actually Tom Cruise actually hanging off the side of an aeroplane or off the bottom of a helicopter. And you go, that's amazing. That's amazing action. This film has none of that. It's action that has been done before, and it has been done better millions of times before by movies that have been half the price or even three quarters of the price. The thing, you know, that's the issue. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that the storyline is pretty standard fare as well. You know, double and triple crossing. Who is who? You know, who's on the level? Who isn't? You know, are they going to help him or not? You know, you can pretty much guess what's going to happen as well. It's not interesting. I don't think it's insightful either. I mean, literally, once again, it's stuff we've seen a million times before and been done better as well. There is a moment in this movie, though, and I do want to point this out because I thought this was quite interesting. There's a moment in this movie where it starts to veer towards the idea that actually the real war, the real fighting, takes place now via technology rather than good old fisticuffs.
Oh, so like a text round.
Yeah, exactly. And then the film goes, no, we can't have too much of that. We can't have too much of Ryan Gosling sitting at the computer typing away and using a mouse. We need him to do some running and jumping and gunning. So
Of course.
It forgets all of that again. And it goes
a couple of hundred million at it.
Yeah. Listen, we need you to do some more running and jumping. Can you do that for us? And then he does it. And you go,
blow some stuff up.
Yeah. Blow some stuff up. We need some big explosions. That's the thing as well. This movie doesn't have that many big explosions. I'm kind of like, what's going on? Oh. It's honestly, is this movie worth $200 million? No. on no planet, in nobody's mind, are people looking at this and going, that's 200 million there. No way. It's not. It doesn't look like one. It doesn't feel like one either. It's not even the best action movie of the year by a long shot. You know, if you were making a list of your top 10 action movies of 2022, and
which we're definitely doing after this.
We're doing after this. We're going to compare notes here. We really are. And bearing in mind, we're over halfway through the year. This wouldn't even make it in the top 10. It wouldn't even make it in the top 20. Okay.
Oh, wow.
It really wouldn't. This is a movie that will so quickly come and go, like Ryan Gosling's character, to be honest. The only thing you're going to remember this movie for is the price tag. That's it.
I thought you were going to say Ana de Armas.
Well, do you know, it's once again, you watch this movie and you go, why can we not have Ana de Armas leading a female action movie? Because we saw it in No Time to Die. No Time to Die?
Yeah,
No Time to Die. We saw
she's
it.
Great in that.
We saw it in this as well. She was great in Blade Runner 2049, which, by the way, she was with Ryan Gosling in again. So, you know, they're teaming up here again.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is the thing. Give us a movie. You know, give us Atomic Blonde 2, but with Ana de Armas instead of Charlize Theron. I'm not saying Charlize Theron shouldn't be in it because she's great in Atomic Blonde. She's great in it. But I want an action movie with Ana de Armas.
That vibe.
Yes, this is because she's proved it twice now. She's proved it in The Gray Man, even though it's not a great film. And she's proved it in No Time to Die as well.
Oh, so what you wanted to see really was Ryan Gosling hanging out of a helicopter and Ana de Armas leading the thing.
I'm not even bothered about Ryan Gosling hanging outside of a helicopter, to be honest with you, because you once again, Tom Cruise has done it a million times better. Yeah. This is the thing. You watch it and you go, everything has been done a million times better.
Oh, what a shame for 200 million. It's going to really sting that.
Let's just reiterate that. This movie cost $200 million.
Is that a new record or something?
For Netflix it is. Yeah. Most expensive movie to date.
Blimey. So the Grey Man essentially is all a bit grey and old and done before.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Damn. For something sort of the same, really, I guess. What's the
way? We've now got...
Are these two films similar?
We've now got The Northman. The Northman.
The Northman.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Coming up to see one of them at the weekend.
I don't think it's the same person, I'll be honest. So,
possibly not.
So this is about Amleth, who as a child saw his father killed. He escaped the atrocities and then years later he vows to return and seek vengeance for his father's death.
Oh no, it's not the same guy.
It's not. I told you it wasn't. Good. I told you it wasn't.
That's quite a story. Though.
And yeah. Amleth is from Scandinavia as well. Okay, we should point that out as well. So this story is all set in Scandinavia.
Very north.
Yes. You know, this is... So this movie was made for, I think it was around 60 million. I could be wrong. Might be 70, closing in on 70. Okay.
That's a bargain compared to what we just said, isn't it?
We'll it have is two. A bargain. Yeah. It's a real bargain. But you know, the funny thing is, we joke about that. But when you watch this movie, you will go, this is big budget Hollywood movie making because they put everything on the screen.
Okay,
I mean, it's movie making without boundaries, which I'm totally here for. It's, you know, it's nice to see. And we've spoken about this actually quite a lot. Movies that try to play by their own rules, but you know are hampered by the studio system or are trying to do their own thing, but it doesn't quite work out, but at least they're doing their own thing. That's the thing. And so many movies nowadays are so automatically processed because the studio needed to do this and this and this and this in order for it to be a PG rating or a 15 or something else like that. This one doesn't do any of that. You can tell that this movie has not been interfered by anybody in the studio system at all. It is a movie that plays by its own rules. And I'll give you an example. So early on, when Amleth's father is killed, we really get a sense of how bloodthirsty this film can be. Then, about 30 minutes later into the film, and Amleth is an adult by this point, he's helping his tribe pillage a village. And that's when the film dials up the bloodletting and it really goes for the jugular. It is a relentless 15 to 20 minutes of non-stop action and blood. And I'm kind of thinking, I'm watching it and I'm going, this is a movie that is daring you to look away. It's going, we know you're liking this, but we're going to dial it up. And what point are you going to look away? Are you too scared? Yeah, how much can you take? And I think that's what the director, Robert Eggers, wants. He wants you to feel uncomfortable so you can understand even better the rise of Amleth and side with him. That's the point of it. And I'm watching this and I'm going, you know what this is? This is basically the same story as Gladiator, but set in Scandinavia.
And
100 times more violent, because that's what it is, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point of this. This is Gladiator, but, you know, completely...
Kind of Northman version.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I know some people have had a problem with the film's fantasy element, because, you know, it is dealing with Norse mythology. Norse god mythology as well. I mean, to me, I just thought it added more weight to the film's brilliance. You know, it decides...
Kind of fits in.
Yes. That's the thing. Yeah, that's you're watching it and you're going, okay, I understand it because it's rooted in real life. And then all of a sudden it gets a bit, you know, fantasy element. And then it goes even more. And you go, okay, I understand it. So deciding to play in the Norse god mythology sandpit really worked for me. And I kind of felt... Much like what happens in the film, there are some sort of out-of-body experiences that kind of almost transport you to a higher plane. I know that sounds weird, and I know it sounds like you should be, you know, doing something, you know. But the film...
But you go for escapology for it.
Exactly, because this film very much treads a path between fantasy and reality very well. I mean, it blurs the lines so much so to the point where you're like... this just feels natural. You know, you and I have reviewed movies. We've seen movies in the past where we've gone, well, it's a thriller. And then it moves into being a horror. And you can see that line where it changes. Mm. This one doesn't have that line. It just blurs it all. And I think that's the great thing about it, is that it feels natural. You're watching it and you go, this is the natural movement of the story of the film. I do think it also helps that leading man Alexander Skarsgård, who plays adult Amleth, was born to play this role.
Yeah, he does. He does sort of suit that, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, granted, yes.
He's got the roots.
He is from Scandinavia.
He's going to do all right, yeah.
The thing is, I'm watching it and I'm going, wow, this is a performance and a half. Like, it is non-stop action and aggression. It's full on. Everything Amleth does is believable. Even the fantasy bits, you're like, I kind of believe this. You know, that's the thing. So to the point where when he's slicing and dicing people, you're sort of backing him. You're going, yes, carry on, mate. Carry on. Keep going. You know, that's the thing.
Take off the head.
I just think it is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant performance. Absolutely brilliant. But then the film is, you know, for me, The Northman is... It's got style, it's got substance, it looks incredible, including one of the most beautifully shot finales in a movie I've ever seen. The soundtrack is brilliant. The cast are all at the top of their game. You know, Alexander Skarsgård's in it, Nicole Kidman's in it. Who else? Anya Taylor-Joy is in it as well. Ethan Hawke is in it. You know, you're talking about big names here. Big names, all of them, top of the game. Directing is amazing as well. I was just bowled over by the brilliance of this movie. I think it is going to be a long time before anybody dare be as bold in doing such a bloodthirsty and violent movie for a major Hollywood studio. Nobody is going to get close to this.
Well, they're going to take a while to make some more fake blood, really. They probably used it.
There was a lot of use in this movie. I mean, I'm not saying that it won't be. You know, there are other movies that will get close to this or surpass it, but 9 times out of 10, they're indie movies because they don't have any, you know, they're not hampered by the studio system. This is what I'm saying. You know, they're playing by their own rules. This movie's playing by its own rules. It just is. And it's going, if you don't like it, tough luck. And... that's what I love about it. I love the fact that it is doing its own thing. I just love the fact that it's got everything on offer. It's outstanding. And I think it's the best film I've seen so far this year.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Big cool. Amazing. It's just a shame Alexander Skarsgård didn't work out a bit beforehand. Look at that. That's ridiculous.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, please go onto the internet and type in Alexander Skarsgård, The Northman, and just look at the images. I mean, you could...
I mean, really?
You could grate cheese on his abs and also on his chin
and beard,
and on his arms and on his legs, probably on his toes as well. I mean, the guy is...
You should own a gym or something.
Just look at it and think, I could never get anywhere near that. But, you know, the thing is, I'm a huge fan of his anyway. I thought, you know, all the way back to True Blood, when he was in True Blood, I thought he was brilliant in that. And he, you know, he's tried to break Hollywood, and I think he's just been in the wrong movies. You know, Tarzan didn't work out for him that well. But he's been making interesting stuff. You know, that's the thing. He's popped up in a few interesting TV stuff as well, a few TV series. You know, he was in Succession. He's been in Big Little Lies as well. I think he's got to the point now where he's like, I'm just going to make stuff for me.
And stuff I want to make, yeah.
The Northman is very much a movie made especially for Alexander Skarsgård. It's also a movie made especially for me as well. But as I said, the best film I have seen so far this year. It's such a daring movie, and everything it tries, I think it pulls off.
Fantastic. So looking forward to the sequel, The Southman. We'll put you forward.
For director. I can't imagine I would get anywhere near that at all. I really don't.
What else you got for us?
So On Paramount Plus, which obviously, you know, is another streaming service.
Oh, another one.
Yeah, so on Paramount Plus, Rumble, which is set in a world where monster wrestling is a global sport and monsters are super athletes. Teenager Winnie seeks to follow in her father's footsteps by coaching a lovable underdog monster into a champion.
Now, this is one that would tempt me to subscribe.
Okay.
It sounds fun.
Because okay. You're thinking animated monsters wrestling.
Yes, it exactly. Just
it sounds like fun, doesn't it? It sounds like pure fun. You go, yeah. What? Why? And I have to say, for the most part, it is fun. I think the film does struggle outside of the wrestling monsters quite badly. I mean, yes, it is an underdog story, but should it be under monster?
And under monster. An under-monster story, yeah, well, yeah, it should be really.
You know, underdog story, I know
the
that
dog.
Is the...
There's no dogs.
Yeah, there's no... I don't, whatever, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's
I mean, we
point.
Have seen this type of story a million times before, so much so that I was watching it and I was like, ah, this is just
especially
copying...
Apollo Creed.
It's Rocky. It's the first Rocky movie. That's yeah. The thing. Even to the point where when Winnie is training the monster... to wrestle, she's training it exactly the same way that Mickey trained Rocky in the first movie, basically. granted, most kids who are watching Rumble won't have a clue what we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about a movie that's over 40 years old now. That's
maybe the adults would enjoy that kind of
well, that's the thing. You know, tribute. You watch it and you go, oh, it's got a tribute. Great word. Yes, yes. Absolutely. I mean, I'd even go so far as to say it's a slight twist on the Godzilla versus King Kong type story here. Granted, I didn't like Godzilla vs. King
Kong. Except you can see them.
Exactly. Except darkness. You can see them. It's not just yes. Pictures of their feet. That's the thing. Yes, you can see them. I'm not a huge fan of the animation. I've got to be honest. It isn't really that eye-catching. I think the film doesn't really care about the animation. I've got to be honest. I'm not saying the animators aren't doing a great job. I'm just saying that I think the film is more interested in trying to do the story than going, look at the animation, isn't it great? And you go, well, they can be hand in hand. There's no harm in that. You know, that's the why places like Studio Ghibli, Pixar, Walt Disney Animation, you know, Locksmith Animation have that brilliant blend. Unfortunately, it's not here. And I think also when you have monsters in a movie, that should give you creative license to make them scary or funny or weird. I didn't find
kind
that
of
here.
Shackles off.
Yeah, this one all felt like, you know, they were a bit middle of the road, little bit dull. And I was like, that's a shame because they could have been cool. Look, I'm not really down on the movie. I've got to be honest. I think it's really hard to really enjoy this movie. I liked it. I liked it when the monsters were fighting each other. I thought that was fun. I thought it would have been better if it had been some sort of like Royal Rumble for monsters. I've got to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
How great would that have been? I mean, instead, it's basically one-on-one. But imagine a monster Royal Rumble or monster King of the Ring. I think that would have been brilliant.
Yeah. That would have been great.
But instead, we've got a film that basically goes training, wrestling match, training, wrestling match, training. And you're like, you know, you get the idea. So, look, the film's got a really good concept. There's no two ways about it. And the actual wrestling scenes are really good fun. The final product, the overall product, I just feel could have been better.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wasn't monstrously good.
It wasn't monstrously good, but I had a rumble good time.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't work. Does that work? Rumble good time? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. It does. Okay. There you have that.
Thank you. Yeah, but look, I'm not down on it. I did watch it. There's some entertaining bits. There's just bits where I'm like, oh, it could have been better.
So this is only on Paramount Plus?
It is only on Paramount Plus, yes.
Uh-huh. And what else is on Paramount Plus? Like the whole of the entire Paramount catalogue?
Just about, well, they're obviously, much like the other streaming services, they're slowly trickling bits on there. But they have a lot of TV series on there, new and old. They've got some older movies, which I'm really appreciative of because some stuff I haven't seen. they've got some new stuff. And once again, much like the others, they have original content on there. So, you know, Rumble is a Paramount Plus original content movie. They've got a Beavis and Butthead movie. I'm a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. They've got other movies on there as well. So I think we're going to be talking about Paramount Plus quite a bit in the coming months as well, because they do have a nice lineup coming up.
Excellent. And did they spend 200 million on this like Netflix did?
I don't think they did. I can't imagine that anything on Paramount Plus is anywhere near 100 million, never mind about 200. That's no disrespect to Paramount Plus. They're just playing it very safe, and well done to them.
Playing it cool, yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't go 200 million myself.
No, exactly. Look, we might be saying completely different in 10 years' time. We'll go Paramount Plus have spent 500 million on a movie. And you go,
here they go again.
Yeah, exactly. But for now, Paramount Plus, you know, they're churning out the stuff, much like, you know, Disney Plus or Apple TV or Netflix or Prime Video or all of the other streaming services that are on offer.
I know, I feel like we're spending about 200 million every month. I know. So what you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, we're going to be talking about another movie that's on Paramount Plus.
Oh,
yes, I know. So we're going to be talking about a coming-of-age comedy. It's called Honor Society, basically. Then we're going to be talking about the new Werner Herzog documentary. It's called Fire of Love. It's the story of two volcanologists from the 70s who go trips around the world looking at volcanoes, exploding volcanoes, basically.
Oh, that's a cool job.
And then as a podcast extra, we're going to talk about an anime movie called The Deer King. Yes, and for anybody who's wondering, kind of parallels have been made between The Deer King and Studio Ghibli's Princess Mononoke. So you kind of know where you are if you understand that sentence there.
I thought you were going to say parallels being drawn between either Bambi or... or deerskin. And I thought either of those is.
Oh my goodness.
Don't want it all
oh my goodness. Deerskin? Really? Wow.
No.
You're obsessed with that movie.
I am. Really, I want the jacket. It's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, we reviewed that. What was it, last year?
It was
You're
a long time
still
ago.
Obsessed with that movie. Wow. Good on you, though. Look, let's be honest. We both gave it a good review. We both really enjoyed it. But the fact that you're so obsessed with it has me a bit worried. I've got to be honest.
I just, every time I put this jacket on when I talk to you, and it brings it all back.
Oh, no. Right, look, take the jacket off. We can compare action movies. I really don't want to see Deerskin in your top 10, though.
That's a great action movie.
Oh, yeah, dear. Film reviews and movie news. With Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.